Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guests explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
Greetings, blessings, and welcome to this edition of A Call to Greatness. And I hope indeed you will hear your greatness calling today. We are exploring the topic today of presencing the future, how we not only create our own reality, we've heard that term a lot, but how we actually presence that reality, how we actually are so present with the reality that it begins to happen. It's a very different feel that we'll be exploring. And I'd like to dedicate this show to someone whose presence means a great deal to me, without whom I cannot imagine doing my life, and that is to my husband, Mark. It is his birthday today, and today would be September 20th, so depending on when you are listening to it, if it's live September 20th, I'm dedicating the show to him because it's his birthday. If it's another day, I'm dedicating the show to him because I love him very, very dearly. So, I would like to introduce my very special guest today. She is a very, very dear friend and colleague and spiritual companion of mine, Maria Elena Martinez. Maria Elena, welcome to A Call to Greatness.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Maria Elena is a Franciscan. She has been in a leadership, working in a leadership capacity for some 20 years. She works as a spiritual director, companioning people on their spiritual journey and in calls to discerning various aspects of their lives. She also has a passion for bridging cultures and walks with indigenous women in Chiapas and is currently working in both the U.S. and Chiapas, mentoring and guiding groups and leading processes that nurture vision and connection. That's a pretty tall order, and it's a lot to be taking on and holding. And Maria Elena, I must say, you do it with more grace and elegance than anyone I know.
Thank you.
And it's such a pleasure to be working with you. And I'd like to begin this show with an experience. The idea of presencing, as we are calling it, is not an easy thing to just start talking about. And so I'd like to begin with an experience, and I would like you to kind of help lead us off, Maria Elena, in a very prayerful, presencing kind of way. So I invite all of you now to take a moment for yourself. This is an inward moment, and if you're working, allow yourself to take the time for a moment, because what we do with this prayer could really have an incredible impact on the rest of your day and the flow of the rest of your day. So if you can, I invite you to sit back, take a moment, take a breath in, settle into where you are, letting go of everything around you, and open to this experience of presencing. So if we could begin with the music. And Maria Elena, if you'd like to start us off.
Okay, thank you. Maybe we can just spend a moment and gather ourselves to be present to this present moment. Sometimes our minds just kind of wander and we pull ourselves into the future, or we're thinking of the past or this morning, earlier this morning, but let's be present to this present moment and open our hearts so that the present moment really is providing us with grace. Just be present to that flood of grace and inner light that is being given to you right now.
And as you take in that grace, allowing that grace to simply settle and infuse any part of you that is in need of a little extra grace, or any part of you that you wish to strengthen.
And then just within your heart, connect with all the other listeners. There are many of us seekers who are thirsting for what this moment is providing. And know that we do not live just within ourselves, but we're all connected, we're all one. So everyone who is a listener at this time, we are one in our experience of this grace moment, providing all the more strength and courage and light and vibrancy in our realities because we're all connected. Let's just be aware of that.
And staying in your heart, allowing your heart to be open, expanding it yet further out so that you connect not only to the listeners of this show, but to all those in your community who are working, who are living their lives. All those who touch your life, whose life you touch. All those around you. Holding them in your heart, knowing that you are held in theirs.
And now I would invite us all to go even a step further in opening up this circle and to embrace our world community, to bring into this circle of grace those spaces and places where people are living in darkness and in violence, people who are suffering hunger or loneliness. Just bring them into this grace space and embrace them into this circle, because what we're about to do this morning is also going to be providing some light, some grace, and some energy to those who are in dark places. I call them dark, meaning in very difficult spaces and places of violence and struggle. We bring them into this circle of light and grace, and we embrace them too.
And we imagine this grace-filled, heart-filled energy simply as a presence in our lives, in their lives, in the world community. This heart space that is contributing energy, that is helping in places of conflict, that is helping in places of joy, that is helping in places of every conceivable emotion and circumstance. Simply holding the space for that possibility. And adding a blessing for yourself, again, for the collective, for a heartfelt, open-hearted day. Whatever that looks like. And taking a breath. Not contracting, but coming back to yourself. Coming back into the room in which you are, feeling your feet on the ground, opening to taking part in this dialogue with your imagination awake. We invite you now to join us as we continue the dialogue by calling in, by listening with your heart, by continuing the conversations with your own friends. So welcome back. So Maria Elena, as you do a prayer like this, what happens for you?
Well, I guess what I experience is my whole being and my heart expanding so that I'm living beyond myself. Just several years ago, quite a long time ago, I came to an awareness that it's a profound awareness that I don't live in isolation, that every way that I act and my way of being, my way of relating to others and how I resolve situations or how I deal with the present moment is intimately connected with people on the other side of the world. I just became so aware of that. I couldn't even explain how it happened, but so that I'm in constant connection with, well, I call it, you know, a transformative global community, a global family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just bigger than myself. So
mm-hmm.
what happens to me, I go inside in a place, I guess it's the only way I can describe it, I go in a place where I'm suddenly connected with people far, far away that I don't even know by
mm-hmm.
name, but I'm connected to. So what happens to me is I just feel my heart becoming real big.
Mm-hmm.
And taking in lots and lots of other persons.
Mm-hmm. And how does that affect you in your everyday life? Because you still have to deal with the everydayness of the grocery store.
Yes.
And annoying people. And
mm-hmm. Exactly.
How does that stance, how does that positioning affect you?
Well, what it does is makes me aware that as I look around me, even if I'm at the post office and I'm a little annoyed or waiting in line or something, that how many other people are also waiting for something in their lives?
Mm-hmm.
And waiting for something bigger than just stamps.
Right. So it expands your perspective.
Yes.
Well, this first wake comes up so quickly, and because we are so expanded, we will continue expanding our perspective on A Call to Greatness. And do feel free to call in and join the dialogue with us. The number to call, 866-472-5794. Do stay with us on A Call to Greatness.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness. Thank you for staying with us. And I am speaking this morning with Franciscan Maria Elena Martinez, and we are talking about presencing, experiencing presencing. And we were talking before the break about how the idea of holding and being so connected globally affects your everyday life. And you had just left with quite a profound example of waiting in line at the grocery store and seeing so many other people who are waiting. And honestly, I hadn't thought of that particular perspective.
Yeah, I think of that often, you know, or mm-hmm. if I'm feeling depressed
mm-hmm.
and I just suddenly become aware of how many people are suffering from depression, maybe who are in jail or in prison, who are separated from families. When I think about the immigration issue and people migrating to different places
mm-hmm.
and who they leave behind,
mm-hmm.
and I just connect. Or mm-hmm. even just now, before the show began, I was trying to throw the clothes in the washing machine, and I had someone call me. I had a meeting scheduled for later this morning, and the person called and said, "Can we talk now?" And I had a million things to do before this program was going to start, and then I just called myself to, how many times are we torn in like five different directions? And then I started to get flustered, and I'm thinking, you know, take it easy, that many people, all of us, you know, and the way I handle this
mm-hmm.
is going to make present a new grace and a new reality in this moment, and it's going to affect other places where people are being pulled in different directions also, and maybe even bigger and more serious things than my ordinary everyday stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Does this require, let's go another way, as you speak, what I hear is such a deep connection to your own soul and your own sense of your power and the impact that you have. And that, I imagine, is an ongoing practice that you've developed over time.
Yes, definitely. In fact, I like the words you use because it's true. As you speak them and articulate them, and the experience rings true. And I guess it comes from a practice of my everyday. When I meditate, I'm very present to myself, but I find my soul just going over to being present to other people in need of this moment that I'm having at this time, and then the connection's there. I'm also very aware of a lot of compassion within me, of feeling for other people who are struggling, and rather than it pulling me down and weighing me down, what it does, it just expands me into what a wonderful moment I have every single day, every moment to send light or grace, because I'm trying to handle my situation and I'm thinking of them and I care about them too as much as I care
mm-hmm.
about myself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So one of the things that's interesting, we are at an interesting time because we have gone through kind of in the olden days where it was service above everything else and do not think of the self, total selflessness. Then we went into the 60s, 70s, and 80s where we, particularly in the U.S., I would say, became pretty self-obsessed
mm-hmm.
and very narcissistic. And it seems that what you are talking about and what you are living is beyond both of those, that it isn't selfless, it isn't service and abandoning the self, nor is it totally focusing on the self, but it's very inclusive.
Yes, it feels very inclusive, and I'm very in touch with what it means to be a human being. In our age of such great, wonderful advancements in technology, I find that sometimes it can dehumanize us because, I mean, I love the computers and all the things that I can do, but sometimes, you know, when you make phone calls and they tell you if you want so-and-so, press this, if you want this person, press that, mm-hmm. and the human touch is missing. And so therefore, I'm even more aware of my great love for being a human being and being a loving presence. And it just makes me want to expand and connect with other people. So I don't do it because I'm trying to be selfless. No, my intentionality is to strengthen my humanness. And the first thing about being human is that I'm so deeply connected with other people, with my own pains and sorrows and difficulties and joys and ecstasies, as mm-hmm. well as that of others. And we're just all one.
Mm-hmm. So being human and intentional living and intentional, I want to talk a little more about this intentionality, but can you, are there any moments in your life, any examples in your life where you can think this really helped you be more human and being more intentional? I don't know, I'm kind of thinking about the chickens in Chiapas.
Yeah.
But that came to mind for me. But any examples in your own life?
I mean, there's some things about being human that can become pretty messy. And what you're referring to is when I'm in Mexico and I'm working there, one of my jobs every day is to, you know, corral the turkeys in the morning and feed the chickens and the baby chicks and sweep away the poop that's gathered outside the kitchen door. And the everydayness of drawing pails of water, buckets of water, and taking them out for the animals for the day. And when I'm doing those things, and just the ordinary stuff, it feels so wonderful because sometimes here in the States, I feel I'm not as connected with the everyday grubbiness and poopiness of mm-hmm. life, you know. But I also, you know, when I think of that, you know, I think of human beings who are, maybe as they get older, they're stripped away of so much. I guess there's, you know, many of people that I know that I'm connected to who are sick and elderly and have had to let go of so much or deal with the inability to control your body anymore. Mm-hmm. It's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it inspires me to know that there are moments when I'm dealing with the everydayness of life like that, of taking mm-hmm. care of chickens and turkeys and
mm-hmm.
all of this,
mm-hmm.
that's so much closer to being human, being real. And sometimes here in the States, we just don't want to touch that part of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very connected with the everydayness of what it means to be human, as well as the spiritual grace and gifts of being human.
So you talked about older people letting go, and all of us come to moments when we just don't have as much control over whether it's our bodies, our life situations. I'm waiting for my next guide dog. I would love to just grab a hold of somebody's calendar and say, get me a dog, put me in right there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen. I do not have control over that situation at all. So how, when we're facing those moments, then do we bring in this art of presencing?
Well, in those moments, I do two things. You know, I connect with others who are in the same situation I'm in, and it just taps into a lot of compassion in me. And then I kind of just go somewhere inside of me where I think, you know, even though I have this limitation, we have this limitation, there's other things we can make present. Maybe we don't have a project finished that I want to do, or I'm not able to go somewhere where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we're able to bring some goodness in this present moment of no control. It's like to live secure within insecurity. There's something that I call goodness, that there's goodness in everything. There's grace in everything. But I'm sometimes too busy dealing with the limitation
mm-hmm.
that I don't feel and see the grace. And so I begin to presence the grace that comes with this limitation, and then connect with those who are also feeling the limits of their body, their
mm-hmm.
health, or whatever, their
mm-hmm.
world, their environment. And there's a grace there. It's like for me, every crisis is an invitation to grace, or every moment of stumbling is an invitation, like your name of your show is an invitation to greatness. But when I come to that awareness, I could immediately connect with other people that I don't even know who are probably in the same space I'm in.
Mm-hmm. What I felt as you were speaking is, okay, not only am I being able to connect to the grace and bring some grace to all the other people who are sharing limitations, I received something. There's a lot of wisdom out there from, mm-hmm. that other people bring to their particular situations that are then, it's like tapping that energy of all of us who are working through limitations. I actually have access to a lot more resource.
Oh, yes. And I love the fact you use the word wisdom. Wisdom is insight, light. But wisdom also is the wisdom of we as human beings have so much compassion and love in our hearts. But we just never tap into that, not sufficiently enough to carry us through the trying time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tapping into that, it's easy to tap into it in a workshop. It's easy to tap into it when things are going well, when we're sitting in nature under trees. It's a little harder to tap into it when we're getting up in the morning and thinking about the day and, mm-hmm. you know, all of this stuff. How do you tend this?
I tend it by an interior, maybe for some people it's what they call it to meditate or to pray or mm-hmm. just to be, but there's an interior, I had a practice for many years and daily kind of presencing of meditating, and now it's just become for me that even when I'm throwing clothes in a washing machine or driving from the car from one place to another, that I'm able to tap into that place very easily. Of interiorness where, I don't know, I just experience expansive grace, compassion, wisdom, and connection. It's just there.
It's just there.
For all of us.
For all of us. So what we are looking at is stretching our own soul work so that it takes in more than our personal journey. And we are going to continue stretching our soul work today on A Call to Greatness when we return from this break. So do stay with us and please do call in and join in the dialogue. And you may have a different approach or different ideas, so please do call and join in and share it. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song. Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or a comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, and I'm here today with Franciscan Maria Elena Martinez, and we are talking about presencing, a difficult concept to find words for. It's new and it's an old one. You know, I'm sure people have been doing some form of this for years, but part of, I think, what we are doing in this current age is actually naming things differently. And so we were talking before the break a little bit about stretching our soul work into personal journey, kind of more than our personal work. And one thing I did kind of wonder, Maria Elena, is do you have to have it all together personally first? Like, I often think I'm so kind of screwed up a little bit in a number of ways. Yeah, I'm trying to reach out and help other people. Wait a minute.
No, you don't have to have it together. I don't have it together. And as much as I talk what I believe in and try to practice, oh my gosh, the greatest source gift for me is that I fall all the time. You know, I don't carry out what I'm saying, but then I laugh at myself because, my God, you know, I can't be perfect because then I wouldn't be human. And so it's like embracing my frailty and my inability to live out what I believe in, but not in a way that I get down on myself, but as much as taking it lightly and laughing and saying, welcome to the human race. How many of us are able to live what we believe in? But the trick is to get up and keep going and laughing and dancing with ourselves as we go forward and try again and again and again. To know, you don't have to be perfect. We all have, but the ability and the grace to see the difficulties in our personality and our frailties and our problems as a really invitation to embrace those and don't let them be limitations.
And that in itself is a bit of a stretch to think about laughing and dancing with life, even when it really sucks.
There's some really awful moments that I just tell myself, okay, as bad as this is and as horrible as I feel, I can do this. I can do this, I tell myself. I can go beyond this, or I can live through this, I can wait through this, but I can do this.
Yeah. So taking on this kind of deep joy, this kind of power, how do you keep your ego out of it?
Well, I guess my awareness is that if I let my ego get in the way, then I'm not carrying out my purpose in life. And it sounds strange because, you know, we all have a purpose in life and you'd think my ego would be into what my purpose is. But when I think of a purpose in life, I feel that there's a special mission that I've been called to, this call to greatness, as your show indicates, that's really not about me, myself, and I, but it's about what's been placed before me to make present in our world, and that's my gift. And it's like when I find myself being stubborn about my gifts and wanting things to be a certain way, then I know it's my ego, and then I know I'm in the way and I'm a stumbling block to my own self. But I just feel that it's not about me, but it's about something bigger than me and my purpose in life. And I tell myself, don't get in the way. But when I catch myself getting really into myself, then I know I'm in the way.
So let's talk about some examples. How would this practice help in situations where there's conflict?
Well, oh goodness, I've been through many situations of great conflict, but, you know, for example, you know, there could be a conflict with an individual. There was a situation for me where a person is in, we were in great conflict with each other, we disagreed with something, and we hurt each other, and there was a distancing. And then in myself, I thought, this isn't the way I want to live. But I knew that the person was hurt and I was hurt, and I wondered who's going to take the first step, and I felt, I don't know, I didn't feel I could because I just wasn't ready. But within my heart, when I, you know, meditate, I just think about, I just overwhelmed with the goodness of people. And even someone who hurt me, that person has so much goodness, and whatever's going on with that person, he or she is not acting out of the goodness but out of some other pain. Because I do the same. I don't always act out of my goodness. Sometimes I act out of my pain. And so in one particular situation, when this person was very angry at me and said some terrible things and then repeated them to others, I thought was destroying, trying to destroy who I am, I just thought, well, you must be hurting, and I know you're good. You're so good. There's a lot of good things I like about you, and I care about you. So then I just start presencing in my heart this individual, and I focus on her goodness, and I just keep thinking about her goodness and her goodness and her goodness, and interiorly I feel myself reaching out to her, and then with time I find myself embracing her, and then I start imagining in my mind, if I could be with her right now, what would I like to say? And I'd like to just throw my arms around her and ask her to forgive me and tell her I forgive her, mm-hmm. and that I'm sorry, and I, you know, and have a good cry or whatever. I image all of this, and then I begin to presence that, and I just presence it and presence it. So in between my day, when I'm daydreaming, I presence the image of the two of us, and then I'm driving in the car and I presence the image of the two of us, and then I'm out grocery shopping and I'm throwing stuff in the cart, and I keep her images right there and right there. Until the moment comes that it's provided for me, because I've presenced it so much, it's provided for me that one of us has an opportunity to connect. And then what I've imaged in my heart, that reconciliation, begins to open itself up and take place. Maybe not exactly as I saw it,
mm-hmm.
but certainly the connection is there again and the forgiveness is there again.
Mm-hmm. Is that what happened in this situation?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's what happened, and it's happened. And sometimes when it doesn't happen with other persons, you know, that I'm in conflict or something,
mm-hmm.
then I tell myself it's the timing.
Mm-hmm.
It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait for that moment and be ready.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the timing. It's the other piece.
Mm-hmm. So your assumption that there is so much goodness in people in the world. Are you at a point where you can assume that about people who are actually perpetrating acts of evil?
Yes, because, you know, when I say about this, you know, some persons have said to me, oh, yeah, right, you know, then tell me about the person who sexually molested me when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Or tell me about Hitler.
Right.
And I say, okay, there was a moment in the life of Hitler or your perpetrator that person hopefully was loved and kissed as a baby and had diapers changed and was fed at his or her mother's breast, I hope. But the thing is, they're human beings too. And maybe in those acts of evil, they're not in touch with their humanness because something happened.
Right.
But the call is to come back to the fact that we have all been hopefully loved and touched and kissed and caressed and cared for, but something happened where we've distanced from it,
mm-hmm.
and we are then acting in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a profound message that I've had to
mm-hmm.
live myself when persons have turned against me, but I'm still convinced. I guess it's that call to the human connection,
mm-hmm.
because if we treat people as objects and make them the evil ones and make them the enemy, make them the terrorist or whatever we want to make them,
mm-hmm.
it's like almost like scapegoating
mm-hmm.
to a person or a race or whatever, all sorts of anger within myself. I mean, then I'm talking psychology and all of this, and but I'm just still trying to connect with the fact that when people do terrible and evil things, they're not acting out of their human self, but out of a way of treating others as objects.
So in the presencing, is it kind of like visualizing something different? The feel to me is different, and it's like in looking at different words that we have in our language, we talk about creating your reality. And I've had people, you know, even when somebody got sick, I had somebody else say, oh my God, what'd you do wrong? Like, you didn't create it good enough, you know. And it's like, no, that wasn't the intent. So there are a lot of different ways of working with it. But
yeah. I would say it's almost, for me, it's like seeing. It's imaging and imagination, and we don't use our imaginations much. And and for me, it's what I see, you know, so that if somebody has an ugly right-in-my-face look, you know, and then I can close my eyes and see the person with different eyes. Sometimes when I'm, you know, at airports and I'm traveling and stuff, people get really mad and upset, or they... flight is canceled and everybody and these ugly, ugly faces. And then I think to myself, you know, I know there's somebody who loves you, and I know somebody who just kiss you all over your face because you're such a wonderful, loving person. There's somebody, there's people who love you, there's people who've hurt you, but this isn't you. And then I start seeing them in a different way.
Wow. So as we go to this break, I have a challenge for all of you who are worriers out there. You have great imaginations. You'll be great at this. So ponder that, and we'll be back for the final segment on A Call to Greatness. Part of this dialogue, take it in. Still have one last chance to participate if you want to call. Again, it's 866-472-5795 is the number to call to join us. You've got one last chance. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, spiritalive.com. Victoria Post at spiritalive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
And welcome back to the final segment of this edition of A Call to Greatness. I am Victoria Post, and I'm here with Maria Elena Martinez, a Franciscan wise woman, and we are talking about presencing. And right before the break, I issued a challenge to worriers. Those of you who are good at worrying, you have great imaginations. I heard this a long time ago, that worriers are people with great imaginations. So you are the ones that, if you can, as you start to worry, redirect that imagination, could presence incredible things for the world. And Maria Elena, you've been through a great deal, and the whole situation for women religious is changing. The numbers are dwindling. There's a lot of different congregations are selling their mother houses, and it would be very easy for you to be in a place of feeling a lot of scarcity and a lot of insecurity and a lot of worry. Could you talk a little bit about how you have kind of been able to be with all of that?
Yes. When I was in leadership of our religious congregation, we had a mother house, which is like our corporate offices and our central training headquarters or whatever. It's 27 acres.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was a beautiful place. It's 100,000 square feet. But, you know, we needed to sell it. And people were saying, oh, my God, you know, how are we going to do this? And, you know, who's going to want to buy this? And how are we going to do it? But, you know, within my heart, I just, in when I would meditate and all that, I could see it all happen. And I thought, we can do this. And we can do this with grace. You know, yes, I worry about stuff. But what helped me so that I don't get stuck with worrying, I started just seeing how it could all happen. So to make it a long story short, we sold those 27 acres. And we, you know, when you think about moving out of a house that we've lived there for 43 years, mm-hmm. and it's 100,000 square feet, you can imagine, it housed over 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
To move out of it, I mean, can you imagine what it's like to move out of a two-bedroom house or to move out of a studio? But you can imagine with this. But I just kept imaging. I know there were a lot of details, but I just think with grace now, we can do this. I mean, this is doable. We're going to have to let go of that. I can't be in control of how things go. You know, we're going to do our best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened, and it happened beautifully. And even then, to find a place that we were going to move into, and we decided to downsize, we looked at many office buildings, and everything I saw in my heart kept saying, no, 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 that's not what I saw. No, no, that's not it. That's not
mm-hmm.
it. I kept saying, seeing trees. I saw windows. I
mm-hmm.
saw light. I saw a fireplace in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and I just started seeing what my heart was telling me was we were being called to. And
mm-hmm.
and then we found the place.
Mm-hmm.
So women religious, we are fewer in number, and we are older members. And some persons talk about diminishment, and they've said, oh, isn't it depressing for you to be a leader with somebody, everybody being older, and you know, we're getting fewer in number? And I'd say quite the contrary. I mean, women who are older are wisdom people, and what we need in our world now are wisdom persons. We have great technology, we have great science,
mm-hmm.
but we need the wisdom that goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like I say to my members, look, you think your gray hair means you're finished. We need that wonderful gray hair to share with, you know, with the rest of us, the wisdom of futuring. So my whole idea of women religious were fewer in number, yes, because what's dying out is what used to be, and what's flowering and coming ahead of us is something entirely new and different and very exciting. And we need the wisdom to kind of push ourselves through that threshold. But
yeah.
if I stay on the side of diminishment and aging, I'm going to be stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But I worry about, you know, a lot of things, but I just keep seeing this wonderful threshold, and us walking through it into something totally new, and it's exciting. And that's where I put my focus, not on, you know, what some people let themselves get burdened with.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not, again, it's not denying the situation. It's, again, choosing where you put your focus.
Yeah.
Choosing what you feed, choosing what you nurture,
mm-hmm.
and what you strengthen. If people want to work more with the idea of presencing and how to be present with each other and how to continue this conversation, are there any resources available for them?
Yes, yes. In fact, I found a book that pretty much, it just articulated for me what I experience and find words, hard, difficult to find words for.
Mm-hmm.
There is a book called Presence. It's called Presence, Human Purpose, and the Field of the Future. And it's written by four authors, Peter Senge, S-E-N-G-E, and C. Otto Scharmer, Joseph Jaworski, and Betty Sue Flowers. It's an organization that wrote this book on presence, and it's published by the Society for Organizational Learning. And it was, this is a great book. I mean, it just really talks about presencing. It was first published in March 2004. And I really highly recommend that book to people. Presence, Human Purpose, and the Field of the Future. And along that line, there's another book that's been really helpful to me by Margaret Wheatley. And she wrote a book that's been out for a while now called Turning to One Another, Simple Conversations to Restore Hope to the Future. And this is a great treasure that just talks about the future is in us being able to do what you're doing on this show, having great conversations that can transform and change our world. And this book, Turning to One Another, was first published in 2002. So, I mean, it's been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a treasure, a treasure.
Hmm.
Another one I would mention about this idea of goodness of people and
mm-hmm.
situations,
mm-hmm.
there's a book called The Anatomy of Peace. It's The Anatomy of Peace, Resolving the Heart of Conflict. And it's written by the Arbinger Institute, A-R-B-I-N-G-E-R. Arbinger Institute. This is also a little treasure that talks about, for me,
mm-hmm.
goodness and, you know, holding on to that in people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Arbinger Institute wrote this, and it's the Barrett Kohler Publishers Incorporated in San Francisco. And this was published in 2006.
Wow. So there you have quite a treasure trove to add to the library of resources that we try to provide on this show. It's important to inspire ourselves. It's important to inspire each other so that we can hold this idea. I forget that people have good intentions. You know, when things happen, people respond to me in ways that make me feel misunderstood, unseen, and all that. I forget that somewhere they actually have good intentions. The execution of those good intentions might leave a little to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
But are there any words of wisdom, anything you'd like to leave people with to help them say yes to presencing the future, to help them be part of it, to help them remember that they actually have something to contribute to it as well as to receive from it?
Yeah, I would suggest, you know, like to continue to focus on nurturing a heart that's large enough to embrace the difficulties of life as well as the joys. So many of us just want everything to be just, I call it peaches and cream, and it's
mm-hmm.
just not that way. But our heart is large enough to embrace all the difficulties that exist in our life that are really sources of grace. So nurturing that heart, cultivating that inner space for goodness and grace, you know, I think that's just really important. And secondly, to know that we do have a purpose in life, a purpose that's a very, very special mission, and presencing that mission or my purpose is in my, it's in my hands, it's in my eyes, it's in my heart. It's there for me for the taking.
It is there, as is your own unique call to greatness. So I encourage you to take that call, to present the future, to be part of it. And I want to thank you so very much, Maria Elena, for joining us today on A Call to Greatness. And may all of you find this week the love and the courage in your soul to present an incredible future together. Thank you for tuning in and listening on A Call to Greatness. God bless each and every one of you. Blessings. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.